honeycomb. For the Word of God in Scripture, for the Word of God among us, for the Word of God within us, we proclaim, thanks be to God. Friends, my hope is that as you will go out of this service a little bit later, that you will come away noticing God's good work all over life, all over creation, all over yourself. That God is this artist, this creator who has put all of this for you and I to enjoy, to experience, to encounter, and that you and I will go out and be, I'm going to use a bad word here, evangelists. Evangelists of God's good work. Now, evangelism has fallen on really bad times, and for good reason, okay? All of the proselytizing and all the theological statements and all those things, that those people are bad and going to hell, and these people are good, and it gets messy real quick, doesn't it, friends? But I think if you have a good restaurant experience, guess what you do? You share it, don't you? If you have a good recipe, you give that away, right? Maybe. There's a lot of truth right there, isn't there, right? You leave one ingredient out, right? Yes, exactly. Yeah, we have these things that we encounter in life where we go, oh, I need to tell someone about this, right? For example, how many people experienced a great sunrise this morning, and then when you were asked how your day is, you went, it's a beautiful morning. And you share that experience because it was good and wonder-filled, and you want to share it and experience it with another human being, don't you? Well, we have these things all over the place in our lives. And in fact, as our psalmist shares with us this morning, creation itself is the great evangelist about God and who God is. Creation is constantly sharing just how majestic, miraculous, and magical God is. It uses words without using words, doesn't it? And this is our life here, friends. You and I, being here in the 21st century, so much of life gets demystified, doesn't it? We sort of suck the magic and miracle out of things all of the time. And here's the thing that I know. We live in a scientific world, and I love science, and I love everything about it, but most of us stopped with science at, like, freshman biology, okay? And because of that, we have this kind of high school mentality of science where it's like, well, you know, that's just the way things are, and things are material and natural, and we separate that out from our faith. We separate that out from theology. We separate that out from God. But when you go and speak to the real scientists, they're full of majesty. They know the magic of the universe and the world. When you go and talk to an engineer, yeah, sure, there's a process and there's A leads to B, but the fact that A always leads to B is pretty incredible. It's amazing. And so when you start speaking to people who are actual experts in things, you go, oh, all of this actually fits really nicely together. There's a ton of magic and miracle and majesty in all of it. And so today we're going to use our senses, right? Our powers of observation, the scientific method, to talk about God. And we're going to start with an easy one, taste. Friends, what tastes good? Chocolate. Oh, well, we got to take these one at a time, friends, okay? Chocolate. Oh, how many of you just love chocolate? Okay, a whole bunch of you. You know that is a universal human experience, right? That wherever you go in all cultures of the world, throughout history, cultures that had chocolate love love chocolate. In fact, chocolate shows up in lots of stories, lots of legends, lots of myths all around the world, right? In fact, it's often considered to be a gift from who? The gods, right? In all of those stories, right? And I would have to agree. Like every time I eat chocolate, I go, this is divine. It's holy, friends, right? This is not common, okay? Certainly not profane. It's sacred, right? Chocolate. Coffee. Who said coffee? Oh, coffee, friends. When I smell coffee, when I taste coffee, when all of that hits on my taste buds, here's what I know. Life's going to be okay. Right? Yeah, for those of you who are coffee drinkers, you know, right? You're not alive until you've had your drink of coffee. No one should speak to you before you have your coffee, right? You're kind of the walking dead right up until that moment, and you really might just chew someone's head off, literally, right? If you don't have your coffee, right? Ah, coffee. Others? Bacon. Bacon, friends, right? Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, yeah, my mouth is literally watering right now. I need some bacon, friends, right? Others?
Green chili.
Green chili. The stuff that Colorado is made of, friends. And here's the thing about green chili, right? It's either good or it's not, right? There's no in between on green chili. It's either you go, oh, yeah, that was good, or you go, what was that? Right? What? Oh, we don't talk about New Mexico. New Mexico green chili, exactly. Heavenly, right? Heavenly. We don't talk about it because it makes us jealous here in Colorado, right? That's the reality of it. Yes, indeed. Sarah, you're just rooting for New Mexico. Yes, exactly. Yes, indeed. Cheesecake, oh yes, right? You get one of those triangles, right? You see it. First off, it looks perfect, right? It comes out so smooth, so silky, and you're like, that is a perfect specimen of dessert, right? And the thing that we want to do immediately is ruin it, don't we? We want to stick our fork in it and get it in our mouth. Yes, we do. Taste. Scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Throughout Scripture, taste is something that happens over and over and over again. Food is associated with God from the very beginning, isn't it? When God puts Adam and Eve in the garden, he looks at them and says, eat any of this, not that, but eat any of this. Right? It's all yours. Experience it. Encounter it. When the people of Israel are in the wilderness, what does God do? God provides them manna. Manna from heaven to eat, to taste. Throughout the Psalms, we're constantly reminded there's so much goodness to put our mouth on and around, all the way into the New Testament, where the very symbols and rituals that we use of Christianity are right here at a table. The body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We are to eat, we are to taste, we are to drink. This is an embodied experience. Aromas. Now, we have to say, you have the word aroma, and there's a synonym-ish for it called odor. But those aren't the same, are they? No. Technically, dictionary definitions, they're pretty much right on top of one another, but we don't explain something good with the word odor, do we? No, we use this beautiful word aroma. What smells good, friends? What? Bread. Baking bread, right? Yeah. Pastas. Pasta sauce. Yeah. Others. What?
Spring rain.
Oh, right? And it just, it fills the air, doesn't it? Was there one over here? Flowers, right? All kinds of flowers. The forest, right? Ah, that amazing smell of aspen or pine, right? And you just go, ah, it's immersive.
Babies.
Oh, you might as well have said puppies, right? Yeah, right? I mean, there's nothing like smelling a baby, is there? I mean, there's a rapture that occurs in that smelling action, isn't there? The aroma is absolutely beautiful. Others. What smells amazing? The ocean and the saltiness of it, right? Even when you're like 50 miles out, you begin to get the whiffs of it, don't you? Yeah, it's incredible. Let's move to a next one. Sound. What have you heard that is beautiful or amazing or majestic or magical?
Music,
right? Music. Yeah, when you all were doing that thing with the holy, 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 I was like, oh, I don't know what you all call that because I know nothing about music. But incredible. The experience was amazing, even though I have no intellectual knowledge of what that is. The experience is amazing. The sound of rain. Yeah, Audrey Smith over here and I were talking about this in between services. Okay, so if you don't know Audrey, wave everyone. She's one of our staff members here at Grace, one of our newer staff members here at Grace. And she went to college in Texas. And if you don't know, friends, Texas has got some rain, okay? And more importantly, they've got storms. And to sit or stand out on your porch and to experience the storm from a place of safety is absolutely majestic. I grew up in Indiana, so... my father right over there, my sister right over there, we would often go and literally stand on our porch during tornadoes, okay? And for those of you who haven't experienced tornadoes, you think that's crazy, but for those of you who have, you go, oh yeah, that's what you do, right? Because it's absolutely magical to experience that level, that immersion of storm. It's incredible. Songbirds, right? There's a quietness to it, and yet so much sound. It begins to fill us, right? And we begin to listen close to the songbird, and it's inspiring. What do you see? What have you seen that is amazing? Rainbows. Yeah, that's right. Just captured the whole thing, right? Rainbows. Not just rainbows, rainbows in particular places, right? Yeah. The moon. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was going to say, we have several shots here of the moon with our cross in the background, and it's pretty, pretty amazing. Others, the mountains, right? And the mountains are so diverse, right? You can look at one mountain full of trees, and you can turn to the other one and just rocks, right? Some are light, and some are dark. Some have all of these points, and some have been rounded off, right? Many of which have layers of all of that put together as we look out at the horizon here in Colorado, right? You look at it and you go, oh my goodness, see that the Lord is good. What about people? People are beautiful. When I look around at people, and sometimes, you know, like we all do, we like to people watch, don't we? Yeah. Anyone ever just go to the mall and do some people watching, right? Yeah, you all know. You're all creepy people just like me. It's fine. Okay? And we stare at people, and they're weird. People are weird and unique and special and all those things, and that's what makes us absolutely beautiful to look at and see, right? And we look around and go, oh my goodness, people are so diverse, so different from one another. And in that, we go, oh, God, look at what you've done. Something incredible, right? I've saved what is oftentimes for people the hardest one for last, touch. What have you touched?
Hugs,
right? The embrace of a hug. And we have all kinds of different kinds of hugs, don't we? Right? We have the like quick hug, the side hug, the pastor hug, I like to call it, right? Like come in beside you, right? That kind of thing, right? And then we got a long hug. One of those hugs that you go, I need this more than life itself, right? And everything in between. And everything in between. And that touch is so important. And in those touches, we know we're not alone. We know that we are seen. We know that there's a God who is there in the midst of it. For where two or three, there am I. Others. Ooh, I love this, right? Anyone ever do that? Walk into a field or on the edge of a field and put your hands on tall grass, right? Yeah. Pretty embodied experience, isn't it? Yeah. Others. Yes, soft sheets. Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, that's heaven right there, right? When I get in some soft, clean, perfectly folded sheets and mess them up. Oh, yes, friends, right? A blanket, the right kind of blanket too, right? And we all have in our mind what the right kind of blanket is. And most of us disagree about what that is, right? Yeah. Others. Making fleece. Minky fleece. From Joann Fabrics. Here's what's going to happen this week, friends. I'm going to walk into Joann Fabrics for the first time ever, right? And I'm going to say, hey, I need to find the minky fleece, right? And they're going to look at me like, you are in the wrong shop, friend. They'll know, okay? And I'm going to find that, and I'm going to rub it all over my face, right? And they're going to be like, dude, you need to get out of here, okay? But it's going to be an incredible experience for me. You'll go with me. Yeah, it's all three of us do it. That'd be great. My point in all of this, friends, is that so often in life, God seems disembodied. God seems like a thought, an intellectual exercise up here. Because in the 21st century and for the last several centuries, what we did with faith and theology is that we made them all intellectual statements. We say them together. We talk about them. When we think about evangelism, we think that's what we're sharing about, that we need to convert someone to our doctrine about things. But friends, for most of human history, in most cultures around the world, faith, belief, feeling, the soul, these are embodied experiences. You share them with the way that we share anything in life. We talk about our actual encounter, our actual experience, and it is good. We have so many things that we can talk about. We've done it right here in this room this morning with all five senses, that you can go out in the world and go, friend, let me tell you about something I experienced, and it was good, and I know it's from God. It's incredible. Creation has been this silent yet noisy evangelist for all of history. Sharing these things that you and I are encountering and experiencing. Creation itself, the very heavens, the very sky, firmament, if you know that word that was there in Psalm 19, 1 and 2, right? The very water in the sky for the ancients was full of miracle, majesty, and magic. It was the quintessential example that there is a God. And whether it is in pasta sauce or green chili or the smell of a baby or running your hands across the top of grass or whatever it might be, friends, you and I get to go out into the world today and be evangelists, to share the good news of what you and I have experienced from God. So take moments to notice. Take moments to express. Take moments to share the abundance of God all around. Amen.